You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Tinsel Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner and I am your host. This week we got John Walbolt, actor, director, and writer of Non-Ec, his short film, which is all about non-equity actors in New York City just trying to make the Broadway dream come true, and it could not hit more close to home. I absolutely loved this movie and I hope that you guys will take a look at it on Amazon Prime and on Tubi online. And John Walbolt is incredible. He is an app developer as well, created a pitch pipe app for all of those musicians on the go. So if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about how he tends to come up with his creative ideas, please keep listening. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Tinsel Places Podcast, and hopefully you all enjoy this week's episode. Hi, John. How's it going today?
Good. Good to be here, Aaliyah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. So for those who do not know, John Walbolt is a director, a writer, an app developer. And honestly, if you want to just explain to the listeners and everything what exactly it is that you do, how you've gotten onto the scene, how we got connected, and all of that fun stuff.
I guess basically I'm someone who fell in love with musical theater and the greater arts world and is pursuing the Broadway dream. And it's a struggle. It's a hard thing. And so that has pushed me to become creative and try different things. And that's why I have all these other random projects that have come about. It's really just from the struggle of trying to get on Broadway.
Listen, you got to pick and choose and everything. You got to take what you can get. And especially, and you made that very apparent in your movie, which I loved your short film, by the way, Non-Ec, on Amazon Prime. And I think it's on Vudu as well. I loved it. Oh my gosh. It was so funny. So funny. I just want to
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Honestly, I wanted it to be kind of like a mini series, if anything.
Yeah, me too.
somebody listen to this and make it a mini series. I'm not joking. But for those of you who do not know, John directed and wrote Non-Ec, starring, oh God, I hope I don't butcher their names, Caitlin Loria as Stacy and Joshua Pemberton as Michael or Mikhail.
You got it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So how did you even come about that? I mean, considering that you're an artist, I'm assuming that it stemmed from a lot of personal experience. The struggles of all of that. So tell me, how did you even think to hey, let's make a movie?
Yeah. So, well, first I'll say one quick thing. It's not on Vudu. It's on Tubi. Oh.
Tubi.
No problem. I know. No problem. Yeah. Basically for a long time, I wanted to create my own art. Because the audition world is just such a mess, and it was just sort of I want to take control. I guess the short version is I wanted to make a big splash for myself. I wanted to get recognized as a creative person. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at what my options were, I was sort of like, well, if it's Broadway, it's got to be a musical or a play. Or if I want to do something with film, it's got to be a series or a feature film. And I couldn't afford to do any of those. And so I was like, well, maybe I could do like a short film that's basically the first episode of a series, and then if it goes well, I can make more. And so, and then when I thought of that, I was like, okay, well, what should I write about? And you know, they always say, write what you know. And like I said, I've been a struggling actor for so long. It was just like, I have plenty to draw from. So
mm-hmm.
That's where it came about. Yeah.
Yeah. Being a struggling artist gives you really good content. But in terms of like the writing and everything, I mean, it's so funny. I loved the comedy and everything. Did you have any help writing and everything? Or was that solely you like coming with the script and then you got a couple of the people on board to help you out and everything? When it comes to comedy, what made you choose the route of comedy? Because I feel like this type of content, you can really approach it in any sort of way, because oh my gosh, if the tone was just adjusted a little bit, I could be crying, feeling so bad for Stacey and everything. Yeah. 'Cause I'm like, I've been there. But what made you choose comedy specifically?
I have this theory that the most powerful art is not always what we think is the greatest art. And for example, if you were to ask someone what is like the greatest film of all time, they would, or greatest TV show of all time or whatever, they would probably say some really moving drama. But I would argue that the most impactful films or TV shows are actually sitcoms, because like if you look at a show like Friends, like how many people have like been able to watch a show like that and sort of have that experience of maybe they're going through a breakup and they see these characters who are going through the same thing, and it's just more relatable and it's also just more fun. I mean, I think like, I don't know, I think everyone has had low points in their life, and after a while it's sort of like, what do I really want to spend my time writing about? Do I want to just sit there and cry some more? Or do I want to actually like, if I have a choice of the tone, like, wouldn't it be more fun to have fun? You know?
Yeah, no, that's total. Cause I feel like if anything, most of the processes do make you want to go into a corner and just like cry, yeah, bang your head on the wall or anything, especially that, the blonde woman in the movie. The one blonde lady, I forget her name, the actress's name.
Megan.
Yes, Megan. She was good, because there's always,
yeah,
there's always that one.
They're endless. There's always someone who's everything's going right for.
Yeah.
There's always that person. And it's the worst thing in the world. But, you know, and also I think like comedy, especially like if you're trying to convey like a serious message, which non-act does, like, I mean, there are a couple moments that are like very, like there's a couple of people who watch it and they're like, oh, there's a couple of moments that were like too real for me, because it's like you get the pain. And like, that is a strategy with writing, you know, comedy. Like, I think people outside the US probably do it a little bit better, especially like in the UK, where you can have fun and joke and joke and joke. And then all of a sudden there's this moment where you turn everything and you bring it back down and you're like, oh wait, but this is a real thing. Like, you know, it is funny to laugh at, but then you have that moment where you're like, ooh, I need to take a breath. 'Cause like, this pain is real.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I know too many struggling actors, especially like, I feel like the way that you did that, you cast and you wrote these characters and everything, it's spot on, because I feel like I know a Michael, I know a Stacey, I know Megan, whatever her character's name is, and everything in the movie, but like, oh my goodness, I know every one of these characters and I've met them in these auditions and everything. Is there anything in the script or maybe that got cut or put in the movie that you took from your personal experience, like the worst experience that you've ever had or the most like kind of like unsettling experience within the audition room? Anything in particular that stood out to you that made you want to say like, yeah, let's put this on paper?
Gosh, you know, it was a little bit more organic than me having like some master plan. It was really just sort of like one thing led to another. Yeah. I will say that if you think about, I'm happy to talk about anything, but I'll save some spoilers just to like leave something in there for people who go and watch it. Mm-hmm. I will say that the ending is something that has happened to me, and it is gut-wrenching, because it's like, you have that moment where you just feel worthless. And so when I got to the end of that day, I remember thinking of my personal life and I was just like, yeah, like that's because I didn't want it to be a thing about someone has this dream and everything goes right, you know, because that's kind of, you know, you always know that the hero is going to win. And I, I guess this is a spoiler, but I really wanted to make something that was about someone who just fails over and over and they can't get it right. Mm-hmm. And like, but how do you make a fun story about failure, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really meant to be like a playful love letter to other non-ec actors, like from me to you. It's like, you know, I get it. I'm there with you. Like, but we have each other.
Honestly, I love it. And I mean, I'm all for artists supporting other artists. I feel like by you just making this in general, just like, it's like the love letter, like, hey, you guys, we're not alone. The struggle is real, but guess what? I think one of the things in the first couple of minutes was like, this is for the people not seen at the audition or
the opening, title.
It's so important to have that representation and even if it's not like a Black person playing a Black person or a color or anything, backgrounds, non-equity actors, the up-and-coming artist, it's so important to have that representation. So I really commend you for doing that and having those actors represent people like me out in the world.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But in general and everything, I mean, what are you doing at the moment right now? And are you working on anything considering the current circumstances with the pandemic and everything? Cause you got lucky. You made the movie in 2020 and soon? Yeah. Like how soon was that, that break in between filming and then the pandemic happening?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
We actually filmed it at the end of 2019 and it was a really like big moment in my life because it was like, this is a huge investment in time, money, and just, it's going to be the hardest thing I ever did. And I'm so glad I did it because if I didn't film it then, it would have never happened. But then basically through the holiday season and up until COVID hit, I was editing. And then last year it was like, I had plenty of free time so I could finish the movie. And now it's just sort of like, okay, it's out there. We did some film festivals and then I got onto, Amazon and Tubi and it's like, okay, let's share it with the world.
Yeah. That's incredible. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So the timing worked out. And then I think the first part of that question, what am I doing now? The longer story is towards the end of last year, I was like a lot of people doing virtual shows. Like I was doing virtual cabarets once a week. And I had a holiday show that I did. I also was a part of an online musical. And but after all that, now I've turned all my attention to getting as much content ready for the post-COVID world, because I think once COVID is over, people are going to want to go back to live theater and see movies and all that stuff. So I'm working on a bunch of scripts now, just so that hopefully they're all done as soon as we get the green light to get back to work, so that I can shoot I have a short film that I'm working on the script now, and I have a play I'm working on, so that it's all ready to go.
So you're keeping busy. That's good. That's awesome.
Trying to keep busy.
Yeah. That's incredible. What's the, what do you really pull your inspiration from? Are you kind of, when you start writing and everything, do you have a particular way that you start this? Do you start with characters? Do you start with, an actual concept, a plot, the theme, anything in particular that you really start with? I do have a lot of, early professionals on here and everything that listen in, and they love hearing about that kind of stuff. So since you're already out here doing your thing, what's kind of some advice and everything, and what's your process when it comes to trying to get the creative juices flowing?
Well, I think actually that's a good way you put it, because I think a lot of people wait for the creative juices to start flowing.
Yeah,
and I think
you gotta make it happen.
Yeah. I think like I've had plenty of time where I just feel like, I try and write something and I'm like, this is terrible, but I've made an effort to keep going, because I feel like most of the people who just wait for the right time, never comes around. And so I think the first thing is I just try and keep active. And also, if I don't have something original that I'm working on, I try and collaborate with someone else and just like keep going, because you never know where the really good inspiration is going to come from. And then as far as like, how do I pick my topics and stuff? Some of it lately has been a little bit of like, how do I say this? Like, what are my bigger goals and how do I work backwards from them? So like, for example, like I said, with non-ec, part of the strategy was like, how do I show that I'm capable of writing and directing a TV show? Like, you know, I couldn't afford to make the whole 8 or 10 episodes, but I could afford to make one. And so now if I get enough support behind it, I've proved it. And now I can make those. And similarly, like my next short film, there's a couple things where I want to try a different style of, I mean, of course my style will probably stay my style, but I'm going to try a couple new things, in my next short film. I think I'm going to do the camera work, 'cause for my last one, I wanted to delegate as much as I could. So like, there are certain goals, that inspire, like that sort of frame the constraints of the project in a way. So that's why I'm sort of like, okay, I want to make a short film that I can film. Or like my play is sort of like, it was sort of like, how do I make a play effectively that's small scale enough that I could produce if I can't get someone else to produce it for me? Like, how do I keep the ball in my court? How do I keep myself empowered? And then hopefully those projects will show people like, oh, not only can he direct and write, now we've seen him do all the cinematography. Now we've seen him do a new type of narrative. And so he's capable of all these different things. And yeah, just kind of what's going to keep leading to that bigger goal.
Yeah, and wearing the many hats of an artist, it's very vital in terms of trying to get some stuff done. Because, I mean, hey, quite frankly, shit has to get done. And sometimes you gotta put the hat on to get it done. So
yeah.
It's amazing though. Do you in particular have a preference in terms of being in front of the camera, on stage, or like writing kind of behind the scenes, behind the table? Like, do you have something that you lean more towards despite the fact that you do branch out and do other things?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I've learned that writing and directing is what I want to do. It was a really cool experience when I did non-ec, because up until that point I had produced stuff. I'd kind of directed some stuff. I had done a lot of live performing, but writing and directing my own thing was the most natural I've ever felt doing anything in the arts. Just that process of like coming up with an idea and then bringing the people together to make that happen. It was so cool. And so I still like performing and all that stuff, but if I had to pick one, it would be writing and directing my own stuff. And specifically directing my own stuff, because I've done assistant directing and I've done this and that, and it's not the same. Even though I like it, I cannot connect with it the same way.
I completely understand. I'm my full-time job at the moment, I'm a director of a children's facility. So like, baby classes and like fitness classes for kids. But you're running the show and I call the shots, and I would not want to have it any other way. And that's in terms of like, with my full time and with my work in general, why do you think I have a podcast?
Yeah.
I got tired of talking to people about the same things. I wanted to lead the narrative. So here we are. And I think that's like, it's super duper cool that you have that avenue and everything. I just, I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Oh, like, thanks. I'm honestly a fan of yours too.
Oh, thank you so much.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Your app. I looked up your app and everything. How did that even happen with the little pitch pipe that you have going on over there?
Well, that happened because I'm a nerd and I when I was younger, I would make websites just for the sake of making websites because I thought it was cool.
Listen, that's fun. Yeah. Anybody who wants to make fun of you for that's fun. And you're going to make money from having all that knowledge one day. Go on.
Yeah. I sure hope so. With the app, it was just basically, I wanted to have my own app. I just wanted to make my own thing. And up until that point, if I was out and about and I wanted to, because I don't have perfect pitch, and so you know, most people don't. And it was just like, if I wanted to check a note, I would usually use one of these other apps that was like with just a piano. But they always, it was weird. They always took so long to load, and I was just like, I just want something that's quick and easy, and maybe make it my own a little bit. And I made it. I guess it started 5 years ago, and now it blew up. A lot of like choir people, a lot of barbershop kind of people use it. And now it's
crazy. This app, I've seen it and I feel like I've used it, which is crazy. It's so cool. That's it. Like, what made you a pitch pipe? I mean, it's such a simple concept and everything.
Yeah.
Why a pitch pipe? Because I feel like on the store, I feel like, just like you said, there's like a million pitch pipes and pianos and anything. Just because you were just tired of it loading too long and you were just like, hey, let's do this.
I mean, that was part of it. The biggest thing was just, I want to make my own for fun. That was the main thing.
That's so cool. Wow. That seems to be a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, for those listening, these people need to hear that this is the type of person that you guys need to look towards if you're looking for somebody with a certain work ethic that you should be following, because some people get into this type of field with the wrong type of mindset and everything. But honestly, most of your answers today have really just been, I just wanted to be creative and everything. But that's like a great place to be when it comes to trying to do something like this, and I think it's a big reason why you've been so successful. So yeah, of course. But now's your chance. Like, if you want to plug anything, if you want to tell anybody where they can find you, where they can watch your movie, anything like that, now's your chance.
Okay. Yeah. So if anyone's interested, you can just go find Non-Ek on Amazon or Tubi TV, or you can just go to non-ek.com and all the info about the film is there. Mm-hmm. And if anyone wants to keep up on my other projects, just the best way is Instagram, John Walbolt.
Nice.
Just do a Google. You'll find me.
You'll find him. It's the first one. It's the first dude that pops up. You'll find him. Well, thank you again, John, for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it. And thanks for bringing your knowledge and your wisdom to the listeners. I know I learned a lot today. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me a platform to share my story. Really, really appreciate it.
Yes, of course. And please, everybody, go watch Non-Ek. It is so funny. It is so funny. Michael is my personal favorite character. So is Stacey. She's hilarious. Like, my favorite line in the movie, no context, just somebody asked him, is this whiskey? And he said, God, no, it's rosé. Like, that was one of my favorite lines. I was dead because I love rosé. I was like, oh.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'm a total wine snob. So I was like, I'm going to make at least one of these characters is going to be a wine snob like me.
And he was like, that was like perfect casting. Honestly, he's hilarious. And you had a great cast and a great product. So thanks again so much for coming on, guys. Please check him out. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Tentil Places Podcast. And we'll check you in the next episode. Goodbye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.